Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with Elena Frigenti from Frankie, New York. So, welcome, Elena. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Bye. Hi, Bob. Hi, everyone.
And I love your t-shirt, so.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a brand one. Brand one.
I want to talk about Frankie a lot, but before we do that, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, where you're from and your family and your husband's family.
I was born in Livorno, Tuscany. Livorno is a small coastal town, about 100 kilometers from Florence. And my family, though, is not completely Tuscan because my father was from San Valentino Torio, which is a small town in province of Salerno, Campania. And my mother was born in Livorno as well. But her father was from Apulia, and my maternal grandfather was from Barletta in province of Bari. And so I can say that three quarters of my blood are not Tuscan. No, so I'm a girl from the south, from the south of Italy, yeah.
Ah,
And my
so
husband was born in Florence, but as me, his parents were not from Tuscany because they were born in Apulia, both of them. They came from Taranto, and so yes, he is another son of immigrants.
so that's interesting. I didn't know that because my mom's family, they're from Torito in Bari. And they were farmers, and the men were farmers, the women were seamstresses. And as I was doing the research, when I think I finally came across somebody in the early 1800s who was like a forest ranger or something, I was, wow, somebody did something different. But now my uncle lived there. My grandparents' oldest son, they left him behind when they came in 1915 with his grandparents, and he didn't come until like 1950 to Canada. So all my cousins from my Uncle John, Uncle Giovanni, they were all born in Torito.
Yeah, that was also, I think, a typical thing to do for families. The grown-ups went first, just in advance, just to break the ground, and then the rest of the family would follow.
Yeah, and I've heard two stories, but the one that makes the most sense to me is that they had planned to go back. My grandfather was in he fought in the Libyan War before World War I. And when World War I was breaking out, my grandmother said, "You already went to war. You're not going again." And I think it was my grandfather's brother was here. And I don't know if you know this, but for some strange reason, the Bades men, when they came to America, were all icemen. They live at ice. Nobody knows why, but that's what they did.
They were very useful back then because people didn't have refrigerators at home, and so the icemen were, I mean, kind of so useful people to have around the house.
Yeah, and my uncles told me that they had the big tongs, whatever you call them, and they would go up, five flights of stairs with the ice on the, on their back.
My mother used to tell me that she still remembers when the Iceman came to their house carrying this big load of ice, and they put it in a sort of I don't know how to a cupboard, something like that, and to store all the food and the things,
Yeah, and I still remember growing up in New York when we still had the fruit and vegetable man. He didn't have the horse. The horse was gone by then, but they would still drive around in the truck in, the early 1950s and 1960s, and again, the typical vegetable man was an Italian accent and everything. And, you know, that was that's just the way it was. So I want to ask you another thing about Italians and genealogy research. We here, you know, especially me and a lot of people like me, we like to dive deep into our history because we want to connect. But I get the impression that the Italian people don't do that so much.
No, we don't. They don't. No, yeah. Because maybe Italians are not so linked to this idea of being in a melting pot. Because basically, Italy is not a melting pot country as the United States are. And so they don't feel usually the need to going back and research the origins of their families. Well, now and then we ask to our, grandparents what was like if they moved from some place to another one, but there is not this this urgency for finding our roots, even because there has been a flux of migration in Italy as well, a domestic migration, because from the south, as my families both did, they migrated to the north, Tuscany or whatever, upper north, but there is not such a thing like here. It's a pity, I think.
I mean, there's a little bit of it now. I mean, I have, you know, my fourth cousin, Cinzia, who's been helping me a lot. And she, probably a rarity, she did a Facebook page to see if she could find anybody from Spain or South America with the name Piramalo, because the family originally came from Spain. She never expected to find anybody in the U.S. And in fact, there were only two that came to the U.S., my maternal grandmother, her and her aunt, and everybody else, because they, you know, they had money and they saw no need to come. You know, they were the aristocrats in Naples. And I could only guess that my grandmother came because her aunt was here, and being a woman, of course, she wouldn't inherit anything or get anything. So I think what happened was that possibly her aunt's husband, who was an entrepreneur, started my grandfather in a business in New York City. You could see the shop behind me.
Yeah.
That's his shop.
Oh, yeah. And,
the 1920s in New York City. It was an embroidery, you know, bridal veils and crowns. And what I learned recently from my cousin from that family was that her great-grandfather, the entrepreneur, had either a shoe or a wallet factory, but something to do with leather in New York City. So, you know, the only thing I could piece together is somehow he must have said, come, and I'll set you up in business. And they lived on 14th and 15th streets in Manhattan.
When they first came. It's fascinating. I think that Italians are losing something, not trying to bring together all the pieces of the past, because anyone has a story behind them. So yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of get the feeling of who you are.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
And every time I find somebody in my history going back 300 or 400 years that was some sort of despot or something like that, my wife says, ah, that's where you get it from. Now I understand. So I want to talk to you about Frankie in New York. What exactly is Frankie in New York?
The mysterious thing. It's a non-profit. It's an organization we found. We founded almost 3 years ago, when shortly after moving here from the States, from Italy, because we are fascinated by the Italian Americans, and we also have the feeling that Italians and Italian Americans are not so much related as they should and they could, because despite the common roots, the common background, there's no such a deep bond between the two communities. And so we want to deepen these bonds, because they are huge and they are meaningful. And also we want to tell the stories of the Italian Americans far from the stereotypes. Because another thing that we don't like is seeing that so often Italian Americans are just the framed in a cliche, like the Sopranos or the Paisa or something like that. And it's not true, because Italian Americans are, amazing, because they mix the Italian, typical Italian caring for the details, but also the big vision that comes from being Americans. And so this mix is absolutely stunning to us. And to us, it's also important to tell the stories of this kind of people, this kind of third breed of people. And so that's why we founded the organization. And so we tell the stories pretty much every day on our social media. We have the website, which is more or less a showcase of what we do. And we have the monthly newsletter, which each month focuses on a topic which could be of interest for the community. And also now we are working on a big project, which is the Who's Who of the Italian Americans, a sort of directory to collect in alphabetical order the biographies of as many Italian Americans as possible. Just short bios to tell their story, from where they come, their family story, and so on.
I know what you mean, and it's sad because it's becoming more and more watered down with every past generation. You know, when I was growing up, of course, all four of my grandparents, spoke Italian. That was their natural language. My mom's dad and my dad's mother, they spoke very little English. I mean, they spoke it, but not a lot. And they would drift into Italian a lot. So we grew up hearing the language and going to the bakery or going to the pork store and all of that. And walking down my grandmother's block, if there were two non-Italians, that was a lot, but, things progress and people drift, my cousins, at one time we were all within a few square miles of each other, now we're hundreds or even thousands of miles apart. And to your point, that's all getting lost with the younger Italian Americans.
Yeah.
That, they don't have the big family dinner, for example, anymore, like we had.
No, because times have also changed. People are always rushing from one place to another, so it's more difficult. But also, I think we have lost these traditions, and so in a way, it's a bit sad. So, restoring the memory, restoring the origins, the roots, is it's a meaningful process to us. and that's basically our mission.
No, and that's great. And I know we've talked, you know, on other calls about it, about trying to get the young people involved and doing something with that. What do you see as, let me ask it this way. How do you characterize an Italian who, you know, like yourself, who, you know, born, grew up in Italy, comes to New York. When you talk to an Italian American, where do you see the connection and where do you see something we've missed?
Well, a big connection is this love for Italy, which in a way you as Italian Americans have much deeper than us as Italian Italians. Because actually Italians, I mean, have this sort of link to their homeland, home country, but it's not like Italian Americans have. It's more something like that, something that awakes when there is the football game or something like that. But this deep love to Italy, as it was a person from the family, we as Italians don't have. And I love this this sort of feeling that you guys have, because it always helps me reconnect more deeply with my origins. And so this is for sure one big link between me as an Italian and you as Italian Americans. And maybe difference, maybe it's related to what I was saying before, because Italian Americans being this kind of mixture between the two cultures. I feel the difference, because though we are both Italians, because we are Italians, but you are something more than, in a way, that I do. Because this being American in the bone doesn't belong to me. And this is maybe is the difference, but it's a difference that I love, because I would love to have, in a way, I'm learning to have this big vision and this vision of the future, of what things can become, that we as Italians don't have. We are not able to look so much beyond. No.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. Yeah, no, I see what you mean. And you know, for us, I mean, when we went, the one time we did get there, you, and I've talked to other people, we feel like we missed something. When we go back to Italy, you know, like I went there and I looked around and I saw the faces of the people and I said, these are my people, you know? When you walk around America, like you said, it's a melting pot, so...
Yeah.
You know, there's Asian people and Black people and Spanish people, you know, so the streets are different. When you go there, everybody looks like you, you know, and of course we recognize the food and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm trying to learn Italian, but I mean, you don't need to know Italian to eat, because everything's, you know what everything is when you look at the menu. You know, that's the one thing we could get by with. We could always eat. You know, my wife said, you know, you love it here, don't you? And I said, yeah, because I feel this connection, this deep connection to the place. And it's strange, because why do you have that connection, you know, when you go back to a place? And I'm sure maybe when Irish people go to Ireland and you know, German people go to Germany, they probably feel the same way.
Yes, I believe so. Yes, it's something that you can't explain in a rational way. It's something more emotional. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, growing up and hearing the language and you know, hearing the people speak, it's, you know, it's fascinating. And then, you know, walking through Sorrento and, you know, seeing the Sorrentino butcher shop, or this is the funniest one. You'll like this story. I think I've told it a couple of times on the podcast, but in Sorrento, there's the Circolo Sorrentino, right? In the main square. You know it, right? So it was, I think, early Sunday morning. Nobody was in the place, basically. And I walked up to, I guess he was a waiter or something. And I said, can I come in and take a picture? I just want to, you know, take a picture. And he said, no, you can't. And he spoke English. So I said, well, you know, my name's Sorrentino, and I just want to get a, you know, picture inside. It'll be fine. He said, no, you can't. So after three tries, he just went like that with his head. And there were the four guys in the corner with the cigars and the fedoras. I said, okay, I understand now. So I had to be happy with the picture out in front of the place. probably any other time, they probably would have let me go in there and take the picture. But that particular time. But even there, you know, I was walking around and we walked. We were going to, there was an open air flea market, and we walked past the house with this, you know, garden, and there was an old Italian woman there, you know, that a heavy woman like my grandmother, surrounded by tomatoes. I mean, bushels and bushels and bushels of tomatoes. And she was just sitting there peeling them,
yeah,
with a big smile on her face.
Yeah.
You know? So food, because I like to cook. I went to restaurant school in New York City. And so I have to ask you, because we think we eat Italian food. What's the biggest differences between Italian food in Italy and Italian food here?
Maybe you guys mix too much. It is not one plate. Because, for instance, spaghetti meatballs. Actually, in Italy, we eat spaghetti and then we eat meatballs, because it's the first course and the second course. The main difference that I noticed here is that, and this reflects your being American as well, Americans as well, is that you tend to put in the same plate all the different parts of a meal, and because it's just the way you usually do. And so, and each separately taken, they are each originally Italian for meals, because spaghetti is spaghetti and curry is Italian, and also the meatballs. And so, just this is one of the examples that comes to my mind. But yes, and also this kind of mixing ingredients, like is chicken parmigiana, for instance, which is not Italian, a traditional recipe. But I also know that back in the days, people who had to cook didn't find all the ingredients they need in order to cook the recipe in the traditional way, and so they try to invent something what they had at hand. And so as we Italians are very creative, all these kind of Italian American recipes were born. But I like them. I like to try everything.
Yeah, and I keep telling Jincy, I said, you have to give me all the recipes. I have a couple from my dad's mother, and one that's very interesting is she would make like a veal brajol with with an onion sauce. Now she's from Naples, and I have to just, again, I can't ask anybody. It was apparently this was my father's favorite dish. It's really, really good. But you would never find that in an Italian restaurant. So again, to your point, I don't know if it's something she brought from there because it was from her family and maybe just, a family recipe. But you would never find that in an Italian restaurant, that's for sure. And the other thing that freaks people out is I have her recipe for tomato sauce. And at the very end, she added butter to the sauce. Now, people go ballistic when I posted this thing that my grandmother put butter in, and said she can't be Italian. And I said, no, she was from Naples. I said she definitely, and celery, and she would put celery in. So again, I don't know if it's because it was here, and maybe they used something else to sweeten up the sauce in Italy, and celery here was common, and they did that.
Well, for the tomato sauce, there is actually a mixed tradition because in some parts of Italy, they add sugar to the sauce in order to sweeten it. So maybe the butter, the reason for adding butter is to sweeten it. And also, that makes me think that in northern Italy, butter is a much common ingredient. And so maybe it's not that unusual to find tomato sauce with butter also in Italy too. So I wouldn't be so.
And the interesting, I tell people, I say, look, don't before you go ballistic, just try it. Because what it does do is it makes the sauce richer. It gives it a shine, and it makes it richer. And it's not like you put a pound of butter in there. You put a couple of pieces in there and stir it around. But yeah, but to your point, I don't know whether these, couple of dishes that she had, whether it was just because that's what they had here. I have to think that veal dish probably comes from her family going way back. And maybe it was just that family, maybe it was just her family that made that.
Maybe a family variation of the
Because I do that, I do that stuff all the time. I'll look at it and I say, oh, well, I don't have this around, so I'll throw that in there,
No, and it also makes me remember that there is a recipe that comes from the northern Italy in Veneto, where onions are very often used to cook the meal, the meat. And so, for instance, there is the liver, which is cooked in an onions base, on an onion base, so that becomes a sort of sauce during the cooking. So it's not that, unusual again. So.
And then that's the other interesting thing about it is and we're going to get a flavor of that once we finally get there. But each region has its own cuisine over there. Unlike here it's Italian food. There, every region has its own
Yes,
specialties, right?
absolutely. Because actually, we can't talk about an Italian cuisine because it doesn't
Doesn't
exist.
exist, right?
As Italy didn't exist as a nation until 1861. It has developed all these regional cuisines that sometimes are similar, sometimes differ, completely differ from each other. So, for instance, even in Sicily, there is an amazing mix of many kinds of cuisines because there are the Arabs, there are the French, the Greeks, and so it's a trip. Every time is a trip.
So do you, cook American food or you cook Italian food at home?
I try to buy Italian food. But I like to try new things. So, but not the pineapple on the pizza.
Oh, no.
this is absolutely unacceptable.
I like my pizza plain, maybe a little pepperoni or something on it, but that's about it. I don't like that.
No, the pineapple is totally
yeah, that's too funny. We're lucky. We have an Italian bakery 3 or 4 blocks from here. You know, and they have all the old goodies and everything like that. And yeah, it's fantastic to have it that close. So what do people do if they want to participate with Frankie in New York?
You can go to the website, which is www.frankienewyork, spelled just like it is, .com, or follow us on the social media. Or also through the website, sign up to our monthly newsletter. And for the project of the Who's Who of the Italian Americans, just stay tuned because we are, it's a work in progress. So as soon as we have some details, we'll spread the word on our platforms.
No, that's great. That's very exciting. And, you know, I advise everybody to look into it because besides that, like I said, you know, we want to get the youth involved in this so we don't lose that connection that, you know, people of my generation have. Because I think it's very, very important that we don't lose that identity.
And I also think that the younger ones are also in a way eager to get reconnected with their roots. Because maybe they too feel they are losing something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Along the way. And so, but we have to reimagine the narrative because as soon as we use the usual narrative, they won't follow us. But with a new pop kind of narrative, yes, maybe they will be with us.
Yeah, no, let's hope so. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. Yes.
Anytime.
Ciao a tutti.
Bye.